All right, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Chris Demple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris, let's circle around. Take a broad look at what the Fed is doing, even what governments, especially the U.S. government, is doing to try to stabilize these markets. Already today, we've had over 1,000-point swing in the Dow, and markets are generally up. This isn't one of those days where they're up a huge percentage amount, but they are coming off some lows early on in the day that were looking like it could have been a pretty nasty day. Now, I think we can maybe equate some of this recovery in the markets to these actions from the Fed and the government, but let's get your comment first. Is the government doing anything that you think can actually stabilize these shaky markets?
Well, they certainly are, Corey. Now, let me first back up to last Friday, when for the first time, arguably, during this whole thing where the U.S. specifically is concerned, President Trump acted like he finally gets the magnitude of the problem and can't dismiss it anymore, at least to some extent, but he started to circle the wagons and really started getting aggressive. And the market was already oversold. It was looking for an excuse to move higher, and it did. We had that biggest day ever last Friday that Trump bragged about later on, only to have it pulled right back out from under him Sunday night by the Fed, as you and I already talked about back on Sunday night. So, you know, the Fed was one element this week that with its moves on Sunday night specifically in a panic undermined the goodwill that we had ended last week on and caused the market to want to go down again. And then of all the crazy things, CNBC, as a lot of our listeners know, because this was a really hot topic of the day yesterday, they let this hedge fund guy, Bill Ackman, who's already demonstrably a pumper and manipulator who will get on TV and make all kinds of claims about things he already has positions in. He gets on TV, basically tells us the world is about to end and we're going to have a million deaths in the U.S. and all this kind of nonsense. And the anchors, for whatever reason, on CNBC hardly question him. They just let him continue to run his mouth until after the fact, everybody, including Ackman himself, had to backtrack. So there was another instance yesterday with the market trying to bottom where you had somebody broadside it with just, in this case, just stupid nonsense out of his mouth. And now, again, today, we've seen the market trade down, try and stretch the bottom, you know, that big target we were all looking at, 2350 on the S&P. We've traded below it now twice, but didn't close below it. Not didn't do it yesterday, didn't do it the day before, I think. And today we'll see what happens. But if we can, you know, keep the market from settling any lower on a closing basis, maybe we finally put in a near-term bottom, because the Fed is, you know, belatedly in some instances doing an awful lot. They're using the Exchange Stabilization Fund to guarantee money markets. That's a big deal. For the first time since 2008, you know, you're risking breaking the buck, as it's known, where, you know, money market funds typically have a $1 per share constant net asset value. So, you know, your principal isn't going to be eroded, at least even if you're not getting any interest again these days. Nobody wanted to see that happen. They're dickering right now between the Treasury and the Fed exactly how they're going to be shoring up corporate bonds, but they're in the process of doing that too. They're also looking at municipal bonds, which got hit very hard recently because of the belief that state and local governments are going to see tax receipts plunge and everything that goes with that. So, you know, they're, as I said, I think even to you a couple of days ago, and I repeated to Bill Powers this morning when I was on with him on his podcast, you know, by the time this is all said and done, if you were playing cards over the weekend and your buddy Charlie went all in on a hand and it blew up on him and he lost and a hand wrote an IOU to you, you're going to be able to take that to the Fed window and get cash for it too. They'll monetize that when all is said and done.
Now, Chris, even though the Fed is trying to shore up the Treasury market and even the corporate bond market, like you said, and try to instill some confidence in traders to not just go simply to cash, we continue to see traders go quite heavily to cash. Look at, again, where the U.S. dollar is on that dollar index. Is there anything that you think the Fed can do that could change this mentality of this race to cash?
Well, let's distinguish things, Corey. First of all, a lot of investors have gone to cash, a lot of them after things are already down here. But that is not why the dollar has gone up. The dollar has gone up because around the world, you've got a scramble for liquidity with the world on a U.S. dollar standard and so much external debts based in dollars. There's a run on dollars. That's why the Fed has also had to resurrect some of the dollar swap lines and actually make lines of credit to other central banks, to even commercial banks in other countries. That's why the dollar is moving up. And the fact that the dollar is moving up, and you know I've warned about this, the fact that it is shows that they still are bringing a knife to a gunfight. This is a huge problem. You know, Ray Dalio was on TV this morning, and among other things that particular noted fund manager said was that you're looking between corporate and private debts somewhere in the neighborhood of $15 trillion that we're going to see vaporized in what has now started as a coming recession or worse. And the Fed has still not fully compensated for that. They will. And they're going to do it faster than they've done in the past. They have no choice. But until they really get on top of this, and the policy things from fiscal authorities also come that do change sentiment and stop the cascading of selling and deleveraging that's going on right now, until that happens, you're going to see that upward pressure on a dollar. And I said to you the other day that there is no more important asset class or one single number to look at than that U.S. dollar index to tell you how much stress there is or isn't within the system. So it's going to sort itself out. I think that we really are trying to carve out a near-term bottom. May not be the final one for this bear market. But I'm more and more of the mind that there is a tradable bounce taking form, number one. And number two, that this is a time, and I just did it again right before I got on with you. I added two more health-related stocks, both with real nice dividends. One of them especially so, back to my recommended list, because I think here again, you can, you know, with one little piece of your portfolio at a time, put money back to work in companies that are just too cheap.
So, Chris, what about these people that could agree with you that these markets are trying to carve out some sort of near-term bottom? We don't know how long it'll last or just how much lower the markets could go. But for those that think, you know what, this sell-off has come so quickly and has been so devastating, and now that the world's in lockup, maybe the stories will start getting better. How are you recommending potentially trading this sort of a bounce for the broad averages?
Well, aside from individual company fundamentals and trading, here's what you need to consider, Corey, and I'm just going to give you the Cliff Notes version of this because there's a lot of moving parts and we don't know the answer to any of this yet. But at some point, and maybe, you know, we're getting a bottoming process now, we might get a dead cat bounce, and again, we're talking generally about the market, we might get a dead cat bounce. If we get to the point where, let's say, Italy sees a peak in its new cases, we're approaching that, according to Scott Gottlieb this morning and what he's following, we will get to that place in the U.S., maybe not for a number of weeks still. We don't know how many that's going to be. But if and when we get, not if, when we get to the point in this case of a peak in new cases, we know that the corner is being turned as far as the most direct and acute health risks. And especially if along with that, we're getting news of treatments. There's a malaria drug now that they're using that is mitigating this virus that's been, I think, developed in Japan, if I'm not conflating the stories here. So, you know, the health part of this is going to be licked first. All right. And once we get that news, you could see just a gargantuan rally. I mean, we've lost a third of the value of the broad stock market in a month. That's never happened before. And like so many other parts of this thing, we're seeing stuff that none of us have lived through. I mean, the first dislocation I saw was in 80 and 82. We had a double dip recession, you know, as interest rates and inflation got up to double digits numerous times I can go through since then of major epic market moves that we look back on from time to time now. But none of them would compare to this. This is the, we're coming up with a new rule book here. So we don't know what's going to happen in the end. But again, generally, we'll get a monster rally that'll probably be historic in itself and retrace half or two-thirds this entire move down, at which point my gut would tell me today that you would want to be selling that because then the next move comes down, which won't be as spectacular for stocks, but it's going to be a grinding one. It may go on for quite a while. Because in the wake of all of this, we're dealing with trillions of dollars of disruption. We're dealing with deflation pressures that will still go on until they are just so overwhelmed by what the central banks and policymakers have done that we get some reflation trade down the road. Could be 6 or 8 months from now if everything moves as fast as it has lately. It could be a couple or 3 years. We don't know, and we won't know until it happens. So realize that we've started a bear market. The odds are much greater now. It will be a secular bear market and not a cyclical one. Even though in percentage terms, already down by 33%, that might be the majority of what we get in the end. But it's probably not finished, and we're going to be talking about a bear market still most likely this time next year.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I bet we are. But that's the biggest question mark, too, is we just don't know how long this is all going to last. Now, as much as we've talked about what the Fed has done to try to ease investors' nerves, the government is coming out with some other ideas. Governments all around the world are coming out with other ideas. What are your thoughts on Trump's proposal of sending $1,000 to every adult in the U.S.?
And $500 to kids. Don't forget that. That's only the headline so far. And we're not making this up, folks. I haven't seen it all yet. Maybe he wants to bribe all these college kids to stay home from the beach. Hey, if you stay home from the beach and don't go to the beach and spread the Chinese virus, then I'll send you $500. That part, of course, I'm being facetious about. Look, there's all kinds of stuff they're going to do. And one of the reasons this is going to drag out in both a good way and bad way is you've got umpteen upcoming political fights over who gets bailed out, how they get bailed out. How much of it comes to people just in handouts? How much of this they're going to try the government and get back later on? One of the more sensible things out of Larry Kudlow's mouth in the recent past, Trump's chief court jester, the economic advisor, is they're going to do what they did with GM and I think some others back after the financial crisis. Okay, if you want to bail out, we want an equity position. It's what you or I would do if we've got a company coming to us that probably won't go out of business, but they need help. Okay, you're going to exact a price for that help. You're not just going to throw money at them. That's a good thing to do. We're going to see a lot of that. There will be a battle when it comes to how things like shale companies get bailed out, which the president came out and said he wants to do. There will not be the political support if you had to do it as far as a fiscal thing to bail them out. So what you're going to see instead is that'll be one of the things that'll be pushed off to the Fed without a whole hell of a lot of fanfare, is the Fed will be able to buy corporate bonds of most any kind. They're already backstopping the commercial paper market, already backstopping municipal bonds, as I said earlier. They'll be doing all kinds of stuff like that. So some of it will get aired out. Some of it they'll try and do quietly. But this is going to be this is a mess, the likes of which has never happened. That's not going to be cleaned up fast. And it's, some of it's going to cause some political wrangling. Some of it's going to cause maybe the markets to at various times sell off again when the various competing parties in Washington can't agree on how to do it. Maybe don't do anything for a while, but so far they're moving a whole hell of a lot faster than they did after 2008.
And that is actually something that you and I have talked about before, is that the central banks and the governments, it doesn't seem like they're going to sit around and see how this plays out or wait for an even bigger drop, although we have already gotten a pretty substantial drop. They're going to throw essentially the kitchen sink at this sooner rather than later. Arguably, they already are.
Oh, of course. And again, this is an evolving thing, Corey. They're going to, you know, they don't want to be caught fighting this thing from behind any more than they already have, and any more than the Fed put itself in that position. to be fighting this thing from behind. They want to get out in front of it. It's not going to fix everything. It doesn't mean the bear market is over. And as I said a few minutes ago, when the point comes, and it will, when we have a monstrous rip higher in the major stock market averages and we recover a fairly nice chunk of that overall decline from the top of just a month ago, you're going to most likely want to be selling into that.
Oh boy, what a weird market this is. And I know everyone, and rightfully so, focused on the news that is breaking out of every country regarding this coronavirus. But Chris, now that we have had the coronavirus really take hold of a couple other countries and made its way into the U.S. and throughout South America, there is a general playbook that a lot of people are looking at, saying this is the timelines of when cases spike. Do you think that general playbook, as long as it does seem to keep on following that trend, do you think that could settle investors a little bit?
Well, it would. And as I said a few minutes ago, Corey, you know, when we get to the place where you can see the trajectory of new cases is peaking, even though the deaths number won't peak for maybe a couple or 3 weeks after that. But when we see the light at the end of the tunnel, the health issue of this, which is the first thing that we'll be able to put in the rearview mirror, then that will soothe a lot of nerves. It's going to happen some places faster than others. You know, China, where this thing started, has already gone, reached and overcome that place. So is South Korea. So is Singapore. Italy, according to, again, the former FDA commissioner this morning, is getting close, even though the numbers are just horrendous over there. But there are some unique reasons in Italy, as I've discussed previously, why that country got especially hard hit. So, and the same is going to happen here. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we know that it will. And if on top of that, besides nature taking its course in this otherwise, and the, you know, all of us, you know, hunkering down behind our piles of toilet paper at home, besides that, if we do hear more and more about a way to beat this thing back scientifically, then that much more so we'll finally get the coronavirus part of this fear and this bear market put to bed. But then we're going to have bigger fish to fry after that.
All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up. There's been a lot for us to talk about, and there will be a lot for us to talk about, but unfortunately, there are just some questions that no one has the answer to right now. But yeah, it's fascinating seeing what central banks and governments are now doing to try to stabilize markets and economies. But no doubt we're going to keep on getting some pretty bad economic data, and for how many quarters, we still don't know. Chris?
Oh, I mean, and it just started this morning with a fairly decent bump up in weekly jobless claims down here, Corey. Yeah. With the Philly Fed number was the lowest in history. When that came out, there's going to be a lot of that. And that's another reason why, you know, this, even though if I'm correct and we are slugging out at least a near-term bottom here, where this is only the beginning of this whole saga. It's not the end.
Boy, oh boy, kind of a scary thought. But hey, Chris, good chatting with you. Thanks for the comments. I hope you have a great rest of your day.